Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Friday, November 15th. I hope you are having a good morning so far and looking forward to the weekend. I'm a big University of Texas fan, and there's a big, big game this Saturday morning at 11 in Fayetteville, Arkansas, as the University of Texas takes on the University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks. Now, in Texarkana, you have a lot of Razorback fans, not as many UT fans, mostly Razorback fans, and in our church, we have a lot of Razorback fans. So on paper, UT should win. The Longhorns should beat the Razorbacks. We are probably better, I think better. The pundits say we're better by 14 points, but you never know. And this is the Super Bowl for the Arkansas Razorbacks. They don't like the University of Texas, as our coach Steve Sarkisian said. I don't know what we did to them in the past, but they seem to really hate us. And so they'll be sky high for the game, and that's always exciting. I love college football. I do get a little tense when I'm watching the Longhorns, and it's a test of my temper. And so I have to just sit there and watch it and not scream at the TV when they do something foolish with penalties and other things that that don't seem to fit in with the team that they're supposed to be. So anyway, that's coming up this weekend. Looking forward to church on Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana as we finish out the series that I've been doing called This Is War, How to Overcome the World of Flesh and the Devil. And then Sunday night at First Baptist Texarkana, we have our membership class. And it's always a special time as we talk to the people that are interested in joining, interested in finding out more. So lots of great things on the horizon. I'm working on finishing up a book. I have one more chapter to work on this afternoon after I work on my sermon. So busy day for sure, but an exciting day. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, here's my question for you today. Do you hate to be corrected? Or put it another way, how do you handle being corrected? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 says this: He who hates reproof is stupid. Some people don't like that word, but it's a good biblical word. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, Solomon said, but he who hates reproof is stupid. The ERV, easy to read version, it's a really good version, puts it this way: whoever loves discipline loves to learn. Whoever hates to be corrected is stupid. That uses the word stupid too. In the Good News Bible, it puts it this way: it is stupid to hate to be corrected. Now, the word for stupid is senseless. It's like being a dumb animal, and one translation says that. Whoever hates reproof is a dumb animal. You're a natural brute beast, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. That King James uses that language, a natural brute beast. Listen, part of life, and the Christian life especially, is how do you handle being corrected? Because we all have things to learn, and we all should have an open heart to learn. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very familiar passage, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. It tells you what's right. For reproof, it tells you what's not right. For correction, tells you how to get right. And for training in righteousness, tells you how to stay right. And the man of God, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Don't preach what you think. Don't preach what your denomination says. Don't preach, well, I think this sounds right. Don't preach what's coming out of the government. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So we're to preach the word. What happens when you preach the word? Well, there is reproof. There is rebuke. Well, who likes to be reproved? Who likes to be rebuked? In our humanness, we don't like that. Our flesh does not like to be called out. But we are called out by the word of God, and the pastor is supposed to stand in the pulpit and deliver the word, preach the word without stutter, stammer, or equivocation. Thus says the Lord. And it's going to reprove people. It's going to rebuke people to negative things before it exhorts, before it encourages. Everybody likes to be encouraged. But when you preach the word, of those three things, two of them are negative. Reproof and rebuke are negative. But you have to reprove and rebuke before you exhort. You have to tell people, hey, this is what the word says. And let's look and see, oh, you've drifted away from this. And so let's reprove you. Let's rebuke you to get you back on track with the Lord. That's why it's so important to be in church, because not forsaking, Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another day after day as you see the day approaching. And so we come together in church, and I've said this a lot to our congregation and to people over the years, especially when COVID hit and people were not coming to church and churches were not having meetings together. Everything was online for a time there. But online church is not the same as being there. Now, for some people, they don't have a choice. They're sick, they're infirmed, they're incarcerated, whatever. They're not able to come. But for those that can come, online is a good supplement. It's not a good substitute. And there's something about being in the house, shoulder to shoulder with brothers and sisters in Christ, and singing the songs of praise to the Lord and hearing the word, and the Spirit is moving and working. That's an awesome thing. And what happens in that environment? Well, when you preach the word, there is reproof. We say, hey, this is true north. This is the true north of the word. And maybe we have been drifting. That's true for all of us. As the Robert Robinson song, Come Thou Fount, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And so you can kind of track it. When somebody gets away from the Lord, you will notice that their church attendance starts to wane. Their quiet times start to wane. Their prayer times start to wane. Their giving starts to wane. Those markers in their lives. And the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus begins to wane because they're not spending time with Him. Now, I was thinking about this morning. When you talk about being corrected, people don't like to be corrected. Well, why is it that people have trouble being corrected? Well, I think we would say pride. Your pride is wounded if you get corrected. You know, we have these round tables on TV, on news programs, where this person shares their opinion and another person shares his or her opinion, and sometimes there can be conflict. Scott Jennings on CNN, he seems to do a great job presenting the conservative viewpoint on in the hornet's nest, so to speak, when he's at that round table with CNN. But listen, when you have the truth on your side and you're able to share facts, then it's hard to refute that. But we see, and people don't like to be, they don't like to see their arguments dismantled before their eyes because of pride. People are also, why do they hate reproof? Well, because of fear. Well, wait a minute, if you're right and I'm wrong, then that's going to create tons of fear in my heart. Maybe it's because of laziness. That's another reason. I don't want to know the truth. Because that's going to require changes in my life, and I'd rather keep being ignorant of this. You know, the statement, ignorance is bliss. People like that. So I heard when I was in seminary, I took a J term, and kind of an intermediate term, right after Christmas, right at the new year before school started back, you know, on regular classes. We had these terms at Southwestern Seminary that you could take a two-week course and you'd get 2 hours credit. You were in class all week. And so I took a course from Calvin Miller. Calvin Miller was a well-known pastor and author. And he told a story I've never forgotten. And he said, you know, he's talking about this issue of being lazy and not wanting to know the truth. You're willingly ignorant. And he told a story about a Bedouin. And he said a Bedouin is in his tent, and he's got his candle burning, and he's getting ready to eat some dates. And it's nighttime, and so the candle is there providing the light. And he says he picks up a date, and he looks at it, and it has a worm in it. So he puts it down. Picks up another date in the bowl. It has a worm in it. So he puts it down. Picks up a third date. Third date has a worm in it. He puts it down. What does he do? He blows out the light and continues to eat the rest of the dates in the bowl. He didn't want to know. And some people are like that. They don't want to know. Now, all this is leading up to a point. And here's the point. President Trump has announced that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be Health and Human Services Secretary. Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Has made it clear what he thinks about what's going on in our world today, in our nation today. He's made it clear what he thinks about Big Pharma and vaccines and the things that are being put in our food and obesity and all those things. I think he's a great choice to shake things up. Now, people don't like, I have found this out, especially in the medical community, good grief. Those people don't like to say, hey, I was wrong. Now, my dear friend who is now with the Lord, Dr. Mark Barhorst, he was the guy I always consulted when I had a medical issue, a medical question. I would call Mark, and Mark would give me the skinny, and I knew Mark was extremely intelligent, and he was thorough. He would do his research. So initially, he told me when the COVID vaccine came out, he said, yeah, I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't get it. But then he did some further research, and we talked because I was hesitant, and he said, scratch that. I don't think you should get it. And so Debbie and I never got the COVID vaccine. Many people got the COVID vaccine, and you know, my daughter, who's in the medical field as a PA, and my doctor, you know, you're crazy for not getting this. This is going to help you. And my friend Mark Barhorst said, hey, ivermectin is an option here. Hydroxychloroquine, as some of the frontline doctors were saying, this is something that is proven. It's not just been on the market for 2 months. It's been on the market for decades. It's proven to be safe to take, and its effectiveness seems to be valid. So Debbie and I did that. We began to take ivermectin as a precautionary medicine, and we never got sick. I've gotten COVID before, and I take ivermectin, and I seem to get over it fairly quickly. I've had more trouble with flu A than I ever had with COVID. But we have people today that they don't even want to consider that COVID was a plandemic. It was created in the lab, and the medicine for it is worse than the sickness. But all those things are coming to light. Hey, he who hates reproof is stupid. How do you do when you're corrected? Are you open to the truth? You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I always want to be open to being corrected. If I'm wrong, I don't want to stay wrong. I want to get right. So we're up against a break. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking on the program today about this question. How do you handle being corrected? Do you hate it? Proverbs 12:1 in the easy-to-read version, whoever loves discipline loves to learn. Whoever hates to be corrected is stupid. We have to be open to the fact that maybe we're not right on certain things. We talked yesterday, a caller called in about what do you do with people that vote Democrat regardless. They don't have to know any issue. They don't have to know anything about the candidate. They just know if that candidate is Democrat, I'm voting for them. Well, it's like, well, that candidate is a cadaver. That candidate died 3 years ago. I don't care. I'm voting for him. That's not being very wise and prudent. God doesn't want us to live that way. We're supposed to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. And when it comes to shrewdness, we need to be shrewd when it comes to what the government is telling us, what Big Pharma is telling us, what the mainstream media is telling us concerning something as important as our health. Now, I'm excited about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being tapped to be the Health and Human Services Secretary because he realizes there's a problem in our nation as it relates to the food, as it relates to the pharmacies and the big pharma companies that are creating all these vaccines. I read where when I was a kid, I think there were three vaccines that babies got. You know, you got them in your babyhood and your toddlerhood. Now there's something like 70 vaccines that they have. And if you look at autism rates, they're going up and up and up and up and up. I talked to my doctor about this, and she said, well, I think it's in the food. Well, she doesn't want to say it's coming from the medicines, but I think it could be in the food. RFK thinks that it's in the food, but he also thinks we need to be very critical and skeptical about what all these companies are telling us and what they're bringing out. Now, we were told that the COVID vaccine was safe and effective. That's the way it rolled out. Joe Biden told us, hey, if you get vaccinated, you're not going to get COVID. Well, that was a lie. Safe. It was a lie. Effective was a lie. Dr. Peter McCullough has done a lot of research on the COVID vaccine. This is what he had to say about it.
As a doctor, I have never seen something so injurious to the human body. It invades the brain. It invades the heart. It causes brain and heart damage. It invades the bone marrow. It stimulates antibodies to actually start to attack our own platelets and our other cells in our body. It causes blood clotting and damage to blood vessels like we've never seen. Data from University of Pittsburgh suggesting it causes cancer. Since when do we have a protein that actually injures the brain, injures the heart, the bone marrow, the immune system, causes blood clotting, and potentially causes cancer in a single protein? It's a weapon. In fact, there are three papers, one by Farkas, published in Military Medicine, and two by Yen, published in preprint, they've actually concluded it is a bioweapon. It is a bioweapon. According to strict military criteria, it's a bioweapon.
That's Dr. Peter McCullough on the COVID vaccine. Calls it a bioweapon. It creates all kinds of problems. And, Trump had said early on, we don't want the remedy to be worse than the disease. But I think that Bill Gates and others have had a lot of influence in the creation of this and working with Big Pharma. Bill Gates, the multi-billionaire, he's had a lot to do with this. And he has said things and done things and given money toward things that have not been helpful. They've been hurtful. This is what Ben Swain had to report on Bill Gates.
He's been indicted in the Netherlands for lying to the public about the COVID vaccine.
So who is RFK Jr. referring to there? Well, if you guessed Mr. COVID vaccine himself, Bill Gates, you'd be right. Seven COVID vaccine injured people in the Netherlands are suing Gates for misleading people despite knowing that vaccines were not safe and effective. The CEO of Pfizer is also a defendant in this case. And that might explain why Bill Gates has just donated $50 million the Kamala Harris campaign this year, despite not donating to political campaigns in 20 years. See, Gates understands that one successful conviction will open Pandora's box, leading to trial after trial, country after country, along with major fines and maybe even, hopefully, prison time. So, $50 million, that just might be the price he has to pay to save Harris's dying campaign and to try to keep himself out of jail.
We'll make sure that it's produced in volume and that it's accessible to everyone in the world. That's how we're going to end this pandemic.
That was Ben Swan on Bill Gates. That was obviously before the election from last Tuesday, but gave $50 million because he sure wanted Kamala Harris to win. He didn't want Donald Trump to win. He doesn't want Donald Trump to have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. looking at all this stuff and saying, hey, you guys didn't tell the truth. And that's one of that's just a pet peeve of mine. Just tell people the truth. Don't lie to people. Tell them the truth when they were campaigning. You know, hey, Trump, just tell us what you're planning to do. And Kamala Harris, tell us what you believe. Tell us what you're planning to do, where you're taking the country. Tell us the truth. And then we will vote for the candidate we think is going to do the best job for America and Americans. But don't lie to us. Tell us the truth. Well, we're talking about the issue, how do you handle correction? You know, in the Bible, Acts chapter 15, we have two heavyweights, the missionaries, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, the two guys that went on the first missionary journey, two guys who walked closely with the Lord. They hit an impasse when it came to their second missionary journey with John Mark. Barnabas was cousins with John Mark. He wanted to take John Mark, but John Mark had bailed out on the first missionary journey. Things got tough. You know, missionary journeys sound really glamorous until you go on one and you find out how difficult it is. And so John Mark says, hey, I'm out of here. Well, Barnabas said, hey, Paul, John Mark's had a change of heart. He repented. Let's take him on the second missionary journey. And Paul said, no way. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not taking the guy. He's proven to be untrustworthy, unreliable. And there arose, the Bible says, such a sharp disagreement between the two of those guys that they broke up. And Paul, he took Silas and went on a second missionary journey, and Barnabas took John Mark. We don't read much about Barnabas after that. We read a lot about the Apostle Paul. And it's kind of amazing when you think about it, that those two guys couldn't just come together and pray and say, Lord, what do you want us to do here? But it's recorded in the scripture, Acts chapter 15, you can read it, that they couldn't agree. And Paul thought he was right, and Barnabas thought he was right. And maybe they were both right in a way, but you take them or you don't take them, so that can't be something you compromise on. But obviously, John Mark did come back to the Lord, and he was used, and Paul recognized that, and he talks about in another letter, hey, bring John Mark, he's useful to me for service. And John Mark is the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. The church fathers said that John Mark wrote Peter's Gospel. Now, we know him as Mark, not as John Mark, but that was his name was John Mark, and he also went by Mark. So he was used of the Lord, but they came to an impasse, and neither one wanted to budge. And that brings us back to the question, hey, are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to admit that you might be wrong on some things? I was reminded just this week when the book The Shack came out. I read that book and got a lot of encouragement from it. I thought it was helpful at the time, for people who had lost a child to find comfort in this novel. It's not a theological treatise, but it was a novel. But it had a lot of things in there that weren't right, the way he depicted God and things like that. And so I got called out by somebody in my church about that. Hey, you're supporting this book, because I mentioned it to somebody, hey, that you might get comfort from this, who had lost a child. And then I started to research it more and started to think about it more and said, you know what, this is not a good book. And this might have some comforting things in it, But overall, it's teaching people lies about God. And so I had to go back and say, hey, I was wrong. And that's a big issue. Can you say, when you are obviously wrong, can you admit it? Can you say, I was wrong? Some of our listeners will remember the popular show back in the day when I was a kid growing up, Happy Days. Happy Days with Richie Cunningham and Ralph Mouth and Patsy Weber and Arthur Fonzarelli, the Fonz. And there was an episode where Fonzie had told Ralph Mouth that he needed to join the French Foreign Legion and quit being such a loser. And so Ralph Mouth was getting ready to go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to join. And then Fonzie had to sit down with him and say, no, don't do that. And he had to say these words, I was wrong. And he couldn't say it. He said, I was rrr. I was rrr. He couldn't say wrong because he's Fonzie. He's never wrong. And he finally just said to him, Ralph, I was not quite right. Hey, can you say that you were wrong? Can you admit that you were wrong? That you believed people that told you things that weren't true? I've said before, and I've said this from the pulpit. I know I've made some people mad. I have a number of doctors in my church. But listen, if Big Pharma says this is right, if mainstream media says yes, what Big Pharma says is right, if the government says yes, what Big Pharma says is right, if the CDC says yes, we all agree. You can be 99% sure what they're telling you is a lie. And there are other motives involved, whether it's, as Bill Gates has said, reducing the population, or whether it's just feathering their own nest and, hey, I'm going to tell you this so you'll get the shot, you'll buy our product, we'll make billions and billions of dollars. Well, that's just pitiful. Now, perhaps you heard one of the vice presidents of Pfizer. He had this to say. He's very involved in biotech and doesn't work for Pfizer anymore, but he's called them out. His name is Dr. Mike Yeadon. And this recording is not great, but it is it's important stuff.
If you followed me, you'll know I over 30 years in research in the pharmaceutical industry and biotech. I trained in toxicology and I worked with colleagues designing experimental molecules that we hoped would become medicines. That gives me the credentials to stand, as it were, in the shoes of the designers of these vaccines and answer the question, what were you thinking when you made these design decisions? Now, you can go and watch any of my interviews, but I'll cut to the chase. And you may not believe it, but I am sure, not slightly, but sure, these materials were designed intentionally to harm, maim, and kill, and to reduce human fertility. That is my...
These materials were made to harm, maim, and kill, and reduce human fertility. That's from Dr. Mike Yeadon, who was 30 years in that business, who was a vice president at Pfizer. He's probably not getting invited to their Christmas parties anymore, but he's trying to tell the truth and let people know, hey, there's a problem. So all that to say, if you believed wrongly and, you know, you believed what was being stated and shouted on the housetops, and I still remember when Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, he's talking about ivermectin, that's horse goo. Are you going to take horse goo? Ivermectin's been around for decades. It's a proven drug. It's proven to be safe for certain, and it was showing to have great effect upon the COVID virus, but you know, immediately they got the pharmaceutical companies got the pharmacies to not prescribe that, and doctors would prescribe ivermectin. It was hard to get, and you got to wonder, it's like, hey, what's the deal here? Why can we not even talk about this? And for the frontline doctors, they got their credentials removed because they were telling people, hey, what you're hearing from the government is not right. And they're trying to squelch free speech, and they're trying to squelch those of us who would say this is not helpful. This is indeed harmful. So we need to have an open mind when it comes to these things. We need to do our homework when it comes to these things. We need to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, the naive believes everything. And don't be one of those people that just believe everything that you're told from the government, because the government so often doesn't tell the truth. And circling back to the RFK Jr. appointment for Health and Human Services, that guy is going to blow the lid off a lot of these lies and show, hey, this is what's really happening with our food, with our medicines. We are working to keep Americans obese, to keep Americans sick, so we can sell them drugs, and the drugs create these other side effects that you have to take more drugs. It sounds horrible. It sounds horrific. It sounds impossible that somebody would be like that. But the scripture says in the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And that seems, the love of money seems to be directing all of this. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the issue of correction. How do you handle being corrected? Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves to learn. Whoever hates to be corrected is stupid. So we have to be open to correction. We have to be open to the fact that, hey, maybe we don't understand this situation correctly. When it comes to Scripture, who is it among us who understands everything about every single Scripture? John MacArthur, who is extremely intelligent, has been studying the Word of God for many, many, many decades and preached through the whole New Testament and did a masterful job. I don't agree with him on everything. I'm not a Calvinist. He's a Calvinist. But he said himself, hey, I know I'm not right on everything. I just don't know where I'm not right. And if somebody showed me where I'm not right and I did my research on the Scripture and said, hey, you're correct, I'm incorrect, then I would change. We have to have that kind of attitude when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to things in our world, and just know, hey, maybe I don't have all the information, so let me research this, let me find out about this, and let's look at the statistics to see on True Statistics what they tell us. Now, Jesse Waters had Jillian Michaels, the fitness guru, on his program not too long ago, and they were talking about RFK and him coming to be part of Trump's team and exposing the things with Health and Human Services, just exposing what's going on in our nation. This is what she had to say.
If you live a simple, clean lifestyle, then they're not going to make as much money, and they're not going to have as much power in Washington and throughout the rest of the country. It's really about power, isn't it?
Well, it's about power and raw economic incentive. And as much as we can suggest that it's simple, it's not easy, and it's not easy by design. And in fact, it's called structural violence. And it's this collaboration of this toxic quartet, if you will, of the way big farming proliferates these cheap, toxic calories. Big food picks up those calories, and they tinker with it a bit more with their food scientists to make it more addictive, to make it omnipresent. Then big pharma catches us on the other side and starts treating all of our sicknesses with all their diseases. And we won't even touch on big insurance and how they play a role because there isn't enough time. But the bottom line is, look at the world. It's this simple. Infertility, highest ever. Early onset cancer diagnosis, up 79% over the last three decades. 74% of adults in America are overweight and obese. We need change. We need it now. What they're doing isn't working, and it's not working on purpose because it's profitable for the very few. And it's bankrupting Americans. It's the number one cause of bankruptcy is a health-related condition, and it's killing them. If you're afraid of RFK, you've lost your mind. Take a back seat. Let the professionals in this space handle it, and thank God when it starts improving. Period.
So that was Jillian Michaels when she was on Jesse Waters talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I think he's going to do a great job. I think it's exciting to see Trump putting these people into place that are really going to shake up the status quo. And we heard all those many, many statements, a threat to democracy. It really is a threat to bureaucracy. Trump is a threat to bureaucracy, and putting people in place that are going to shake things up. And if you are not helping, and you're in fact hurting the cause and hurting Americans and hurting the country, you're going to be exposed and rooted out. And every American should be for that. And the people that are involved in that bureaucracy, that are involved in promoting things that are destructive to America and Americans, well, they need to be exposed and they need to be uprooted. It is important. So getting back to the initial question, because I'm very careful. Now, I'm on the radio and talking to a lot of people, but I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just talking to everybody. When you start talking about the COVID vaccine was not a good thing, people get mad. How dare you? You're not a doctor. You're not a medical doctor. I am a doctor, but I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not that kind of doctor, as I tell my family often. What do you know about it? Well, as Matt Walsh said, I can read. I can do my homework. I can study. And why are you not doing that? As I've had conversations with physicians and saying, why are you so uncritical when it comes to this shot? Keep doing your homework. Why do you just believe what they're telling you? You're almost like a news person that works for MSNBC. Here's your copy. Just read this. And here are the talking points. Just keep emphasizing this. Threat to democracy. Threat to democracy. He's Hitler. He's a fascist. He's a Nazi. The country will implode if he gets elected. Just keep saying those things over and over and over and over again. Well, we need to be shrewd as serpents and critical and innocent as doves. And we need to do our homework and do our research and look and see, okay, what's happening to the people that have taken this shot? Why are we seeing in the funeral industry and the embalmers, why are we seeing these long worm-like things coming out of people, out of their veins? They have said, those embalmers, we've never seen this in our lives. Well, it's coming from the COVID vaccine. That's why we're having these clots and myocarditis and people dropping dead. It's coming from the shot. And the shot is not safe. And it's obviously not effective. And we need to be able to say, okay, I was wrong about this. As my friend Dr. Mark Barhorst told me, hey, it's okay. And then he came back some weeks later and said, it's not okay. Don't take it. It's not Good. Well, let me shift gears before we go to the phone lines, because my favorite all-time movie character is Rocky Balboa, and Sylvester Stallone, who birthed Rocky Balboa way back when in the 1970s. He introduced Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago just, I think it was last night or the night before, and this is what Sylvester Stallone had to say.
When I did Rocky, if you remember, the first image was a picture of Jesus, and it says Resurrection AC Club. I found a church that had been converted to a boxing ring. So the image pans down from Jesus onto Rocky being hit. And at that moment, he was a chosen person, and that's how I began the journey. Something was going to happen. This man was going to go through a metamorphosis and change lives, just like President Trump. We are in the presence of a really mythical character. I love mythology. And this individual does not exist on this planet. Nobody in the world could have pulled off what he pulled off, so I'm in awe. And I'll just say this, and I mean it. When George Washington defended his country, he had no idea that he was going to change the world. Because without him, you can imagine what the world would look like. Guess what? We got the second George Washington. Congratulations!
That was Sylvester Stallone. And interestingly, I got to meet Sylvester Stallone in 2006 when the Rocky Balboa movie came out. And I got to lead some pastors in a Q&A with him. I actually got to put my arm around him and pray for him. Wonderful guy. And I really enjoyed that experience. And because I was involved with that, he gave me a picture of that opening scene in Rocky One, and he signed it. And it is of the Resurrection Church, AC Club, and it's him in the ring. And he signed it, Sylvester Stallone. So that exact thing that he's talking about, I have that hanging in my office. But how cool is that? And I just appreciate Sylvester Stallone. I don't think he's a believer in Jesus in a born-again sense. I think he believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I don't think he's ever surrendered his life to him, but we hope that would happen. All right, well, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment on some of the things we've been talking about today, I'd love to hear from you. And we have been talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. being appointed as the Health and Human Services Secretary, and the difference that he will make as he exposes the things going into our food, the things that are being injected into our arms through vaccinations and through medicines. And it's a sad day in America when Big Pharma is more concerned with making money, and not obviously not every drug and not every I have lots of friends that are pharmaceutical reps that are wonderful people, and they're promoting a great drug. But Big Pharma in general is coming up with more and more things that seem to be harmful to people. And when you watch TV and you hear, you know, this new drug that's coming out, and they list all the side effects, good grief. It's like, well, who would take that? You know, stop taking, or talk to your doctor if you have suicidal thoughts, if it does this, if it does this, it does, and it's just listed. And when you list all the negatives, it's like, I don't know if the positives outweigh the negatives here. It sounds like this is pretty dangerous. Maybe I'll take my chances with something else, something natural. Now, I take a ton of medicine every day, but it's all natural stuff. And I like that a lot better. I don't know how effective it is. Seems to be somewhat effective, but it's much better than taking a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that seem to, if you take this thing, then it does that, and you have to take another drug to combat what the first drug did. And it's just, it can be very, very confusing, and we need to be careful, very careful. And have doctors that we trust, and doctors that stay critical in reviewing those things, and not just, I read the literature that the pharmaceutical rep gave me, that Big Pharma says it's good, so therefore it must be good. So going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Jordan on the line from Texas. Jordan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve. Just wanted to let you know about an author out there on Substack called The Ethical Skeptic. I've been reading him for the past couple of years. Todd Herman has talked about him. He's got many, many, many articles about the origins of COVID. His latest article regards Omicron, and his contention is that Omicron, which came out after Delta, has actually been around for years.
All right. Did we lose
That's
you?
That's it. Oh.
Okay.
All right. Shout out to my son, Jesse. He's in your band.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate that. So, you know, I realize I'll be the first to say, hey, I'm not a medical doctor. You know, you don't get your medical advice from Pastor Jeff, but I'm telling you, you need to do research. You need to go online. You need to see what the true statistics, what do they show? You can't just deny all these things. You know, Jillian Michaels is not a medical doctor either. And in her interview with Jesse Waters, she said, look and see how much of an increase we've had in infertility, how much of an increase we've had in this disease and that disease and the other disease. Why are Americans so obese? Why do we have so much problem with obesity today? We didn't have that. When I was a kid growing up, there were some overweight people, but they were few and far between. Now it's just everywhere you look, everybody is overweight. Why is that? And that's something that RFK Jr. is going to really explore as the Director, Secretary of Health and Human Services. I, for one, am looking forward to that. Well, we have Joe on the line from Texas. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thanks, Pastor. Boy, it's a great program today. I was listening to a doctor the other day. You were talking about, you know, the side effects of drugs, and he mentioned that cholesterol is essential to make hormones, and the numbers that they say is acceptable for cholesterol to keep lowering them, well, when you lower them to a certain extent, you don't make the hormones that help your elevate your mood. And he said, so as a result, you get to sell drugs for depression. So what Jillian Michaels and Jesse were talking about, I'm seeing that more and more. The more I look, that the side effect of one drug allows them to sell another drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's horrible. It's like, okay, well, yeah, if we do this, then we can sell this, then we can sell that. I'm reminded of a scene from the movie RoboCop, where they created these big robot police force, you know, machines. And the guy said, so what if it didn't work? We were going to be able to sell parts and all sorts of things and create this whole industry. And whether it works or not is superfluous. That doesn't matter. What matters is we make money. And that's the bottom line that I see. In the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. And as the scripture makes it clear, 1 Timothy chapter 6, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again on Monday. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.